Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the bidder information session for UGI Utilities' second RFP under their fifth default service plan. We're calling this RFP the 2025 RFP number 2. My name is Katie Orlandi. I work for NERA Economic Consulting. NERA serves as the auction manager for UGI's fifth default service plan, or DSP-5, as we'll refer to it throughout the presentation. With me today is Rachel Northcutt, also from NERA, and representatives from UGI, who will be available to help answer questions you may have at the conclusion of the presentation. In today's presentation, NERA will provide the relevant background information on the DSP-5 program, process changes for this RFP number 2, details on the qualification and bidding process, and we'll, of course, cover the solicitation-specific information, including the products available and the calendar with deadlines. All lines have been placed on mute, but you can ask written questions throughout the presentation. To ask a question, please click on the chat icon at the bottom of your screen. The chat panel will appear, and then you can type in your question and hit enter. If you have any technical difficulties during today's presentation, you can also use the chat function to let the panelists know, and someone will be in touch. So before I start, I'd like to note that any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to such governing documents. The governing documents are the Pennsylvania Public Utilities Commission opinion and order related to DSP-5 and dated February 20th, 2025. The request for proposals that was posted on June 4th. And UGI's EEI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement for DSP-5, which was also posted on June 4th. Notably, beginning with this RFP, the request for proposals for full requirements and block energy products has been consolidated into a single document. So these documents are all currently available on a new website developed for UGI's default service plans. The new website is ugidsp.com, and the link is provided here on the slide. So NERA serves as the auction manager for the solicitations under DSP-5. Our role is to ensure a transparent process for the RFPs. So specifically, we're the main point of contact with bidders. We ensure the RFP process approved by the commission is followed and the qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We will evaluate the bids on a price-only basis, and we will be the ones presenting the results to the commission. So the agenda for today's call is as follows. In the first half of the presentation, I'll give background on DSP-5, details for this RFP, including the products available, an overview of the RFP process, and then a few slides on the contract and rates. And then in the second half of the presentation, Rachel's going to provide more details on how to qualify to bid and to submit bids on the bid date. Rachel will also have a few slides on the new website. Then at the end of the presentation, we can answer any questions that you submit through the chat function. So on May 31st, 2024, UGI filed its fifth default service plan with the commission to procure electric default supplies for the period June 1, 2025 through May 31st, 2029. Some contracts will extend beyond May 2029. Through these RFPs, UGI will procure supplies for their GSR-1 customers that do not elect to take service from an EGS, or that return to UGI after receiving service from an EGS. And GSR-1 customers are residential and small commercial and industrial customers with peak loads of less than 100 kW. So separately, under DSP-5, UGI serves their GSR-2 customers with peak loads greater than 100 kW directly through PJM markets. But again, the RFPs we're discussing today are for their GSR-1 customers only. This slide provides the product ladder for UGI's DSP-5 program. UGI will hold biannual RFPs in summer and winter for laddered and overlapping full requirements products with 12-month supply terms. Around the clock or ATC, block energy products are also procured under DSP-5, so a flat volume of 20 megawatts will be served through block energy-only contracts. And notably, the 60-month block product that was offered in UGI Spring 2025 block energy RFP that was just held in April 2025 did not receive any bids. This product is being rebid in this RFP number 2 with a supply term of start of September 1st, 2025, extending to August 31st, 2030. As of June 1, UGI is currently serving this 10 megawatt block that was not procured. So in this RFP, there are two products available. The first product is a 12-month full requirements product that will follow 50% of the actual hourly requirements for the GSR1 group with a supply start of December 1st, 2025. Full requirements service includes energy capacity, ancillary services, certain transmission services, excluding the non-market-based transmission services, and alternative energy portfolio standard requirements, and more. Importantly, the load following obligation is based upon the total GSR1 default service customer load share after the application of the block energy-only supply contracts, and also a small allocation of capacity and associated energy from the New York Power Authority. A supplier is paid their winning bid price for each megawatt hour of load served, and the bid is an all-in price in dollar per megawatt hour for this product. The second product available is a 10 megawatt block of around-the-clock energy for a 60-month supply period beginning September 1st, 2025. Again, bidders submit a fixed bid price for the entire supply term of the product in dollar per megawatt hour. The delivery point for both products is the UGI residual aggregate, and there will be a single winner for each product. So I have three slides now on changes that have been made for this RFP number 2. The first change is related to the bid assurance collateral requirement. So all bidders must provide bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or a letter of credit as part of their qualification materials to become eligible to submit bids. This is not new. What has changed is the following. So all bidders must provide a fixed amount of bid assurance collateral of $150,000 regardless of the number of products on which the bidder intends to bid, rather than an amount per product. For bidders electing to submit the collateral in the form of a letter of credit, only a single letter of credit is required in order to bid on both. Last time, it was a separate letter of credit for full requirements and block. This time, it's a combined letter of credit that has been updated to accommodate either product that you're participating or bidding on. And so that means that there is a new template for this RFP number 2 that's posted to the website and should be your starting point for the bank. Also, we wanted to note a process item that at the conclusion of the RFP, a bidder can instruct the auction manager to keep their letter of credit in place for the next one. In this case, the bidder would work with the bank. You can provide an amendment at the end of the RFP to reduce the letter of credit down to a dollar or some other nominal amount and just simply extend the expiration date. This is just a process that we have for convenience if it makes things easier because you're planning to participate in subsequent RFPs throughout the DSP-5 program. In the RFP held in April 2025, UGI received at least 3 independent bids on the full requirements product, and therefore, as approved for DSP-5, a 50% load cap applies to the full requirements products in future RFPs conducted under DSP-5 and beginning with this RFP. So a supplier cannot serve more than 50% of the hourly requirements procured via full requirements contracts. So this means that a supplier that wins a 12-month full requirements product in an RFP cannot bid on this product in the immediately succeeding RFP. There is no load cap applicable to the block energy products. This is just for full requirements. Next, approved for DSP 5 and relevant first for this RFP, if PJM has not issued the final capacity price for a delivery year that coincides with a portion of or the entirety of the supply period at least 3 business days prior to the bid date, then bidders will be instructed to use the most up-to-date capacity price for the UGI zone. We call this the capacity proxy price in formulating their bid for the full requirements product, and then there'll be a true-up to the final capacity price. So the capacity proxy price is not just used if the BRA result is not available. It's when the final capacity price is not available. And I'm going to provide more detail on this mechanism in the contract section of today's presentation. And lastly, new for this RFP is the new website, UGIDSP.com. This is where you'll download documents and you can get in touch with us. So in this next section, I'm going to provide an overview of the RFP process, beginning here with the schedule. So the first deadline is the deadline to propose modifications to the bid assurance letter of credit. That's Monday, June 23rd. Next, the qualification materials, including posting bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or a letter of credit, is due by 12 p.m. noon on July 16th. We'll hold a bidder training on Wednesday, July 23rd. This is an opportunity to ask questions on how to submit, fill out the bid form and submit it. You can go through all of the bid submission procedures that would be used on the bid date. And then the bid date is Thursday, July 31st. The commission decision is the following day on Friday, August 1st. And then by 2 business days after commission decision, the winning supplier will execute transaction confirms and post-performance assurance. The RFP results on the bid date are contingent on final PUC approval. So the auction manager will submit a confidential report with the lowest price bid for each product to the PUC, and the PUC will issue a decision the day after the bid date. Then 15 days after the bid date, some information including the winning bid price, will be posted to the website. Notably, winning supplier names are not posted. Your qualification materials, this is a process item, are submitted to us by email. Our email address is here, ugi-dsp@nira.com. They're due by 12 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, July 16th. Also, bid assurance collateral is submitted electronically in the form of cash or a letter of credit. Now, bidders that submitted complete qualification materials in April can take part in an abbreviated qualification process beginning with this RFP, and Rachel's going to cover those details on the requirements to participate and the abbreviated process in the second half of this presentation. So again, you can go ahead and download all the materials you need to qualify to bid already. They're on the website. So there's the attachments, the EEI contract that needs to be partially executed, instructions for submitting bid assurance collateral, including a W-9 for UGI is posted. The letter of credit is there as well. Okay, so in this next section, I'm going to go through about 5 or 6 slides on the contract details and rates. UGI uses an EEI master power purchase and sales agreement for DSP-5. There were 3 substantial changes to the EEI contract made for DSP-5 relative to DSP-4. So first was the transfer of responsibility for non-market-based charges from suppliers to UGI. Second was to include guidance on the payment for capacity pricing if the final PJM capacity price is not available for the supply term. These two first changes have been incorporated into Schedule P of the EEI. And then the third change was new for DSP 5 was the inclusion of a fixed fee for performance assurance that was added to Article 8. So Appendix B of the transaction confirmation for full requirements products is posted in a zip file. In that zip, it also includes the PJM billing statement line items and identifies the responsible party for each item so that there's transparency and clarity on that point. And please note that all bidders who have not previously participated in an RFP under DSP 5, so if you didn't participate in April, then you must sign this new EEI contract used for DSP 5. So approved for DSP 5, again, if PJM has not issued the final capacity price for a delivery year that coincides with a portion of or the entirety of a supply period at least 3 business days prior to the bid date, then bidders will be instructed to use a capacity proxy price when formulating their bid for the full requirements product. So the final capacity price for 26-27 will not be known at least 3 business days prior to the bid date of July 31st, 2025. So there will be a capacity proxy price used for this RFP. PJM is expected to release the BRA result for this delivery year on July 22nd, 2025. Thus, the capacity proxy price is expected to be the preliminary zonal net load price for the PPL zone from the BRA that's released on July 22nd. The auction manager will confirm the value for the proxy price for 26-27 delivery year at least 3 business days prior to the bid date. Again, it's just expected to be the BRA result that's applicable to UGI unless there is some delay by PJM. And then as described in the transaction confirmation, which again is posted, in each month during the supply term for the months that are also covered by the 26-27 delivery year, a winning supplier will be compensated or charged based upon the difference between the proxy price and that final capacity price from PJM once it's released, multiplied by the supplier's capacity obligation. So the required performance assurance amounts under the contract for winning suppliers are $175,000 per product for full requirements and $100,000 per product for block energy. Performance assurance must be posted at the time of execution of the contract documents following the commission decision and can be provided in the form of a letter of credit or cash. There is a standard form of the performance assurance letter of credit available already posted on the documents page of the RFP website. And again, if you need to request modifications from your bank, please do so by Monday. That's the deadline. Full requirements suppliers are also responsible for providing alternative energy credits during the term of the contract for UGI to comply with the Alternative Energy Portfolio Standards Act, as well as other orders, regulations, and rules. An alternative energy credit is issued for each megawatt hour of generation from a qualified alternative energy system. All solar credits that are transferred must be compliant and eligible to be retired in Pennsylvania in accordance with Act 40, and all Tier 2 credits must also be compliant with Act 114, which was signed into law in 2020. If any requirement under the AEPS Act changes during the term of the contract, the default suppliers are the ones responsible to comply with any new obligations. And we have a table here. This table provides the current obligation for each type of AEC. We have just a quick slide here with some details on rates. So the rates for the GSR 1 group are calculated on the basis of prices determined through the RFP and incorporate quarterly true-up and administrative costs. UGI offers a net metering program to GSR 1 and GSR 2 customers, notably only net metering customers with a supply peak load impact that's assessed to be less than 100 kW will be included in the GSR 1 group. So on this final slide in this section, I have some details on UGI's agreement with the New York Power Authority. Under a multi-state agreement, UGI receives for the benefit of its GSR 1 customers an allocation, an annual allocation of capacity and associated energy from the St. Lawrence Hydroelectric Project that's operated by NYPA. A supplier's hourly obligation for the full requirements product does exclude this NYPA allocation, and there is historical NYPA hourly load data posted and recent megawatt allocation data also available as an FAQ on the website. So with that, I'm going to pass the presentation to Rachel.
Thanks, Katie. Good afternoon, everyone. In this next section, I'll provide a greater amount of detail on the RFP process, and then I'll end today's presentation with an overview of the bid submission process, and then we can have a look at the RFP website. So just a reminder that the deadline to submit qualification materials is 12 p.m. on Wednesday, July 16th. The qualification materials and attachments can be found on the documents page of the RFP website. Again, that's ugidsp.com. Qualification materials must be submitted to the auction manager via email, ugi-dsp@nera.com. And as Katie mentioned, bidders that provided complete qualification materials in a prior RFP under DSP 5 are able to participate in an abbreviated qualification process. And I'll provide more information on that abbreviated process later in this presentation, but I'll start here with just an overview of the qualification materials for those bidders that must take part in the standard qualification process. So generally, the qualification materials include the contact information form, the PJM qualification certification form, the partially executed EEI contract, and bid assurance collateral, as well as some additional information for bidders electing to submit cash as bid assurance collateral. The contact information form, it's also called Attachment 1, requires the bidder to provide basic contact information for at least one, but up to three representatives of the bidder. The representatives serve as the main points of contact for the bidder, and they'll receive correspondence from the auction manager related to the bidder's participation in the RFP. The PJM qualification certification form requires the bidder to certify that it is a member of PJM and is a qualified market buyer and seller in good standing. Bidders intending to bid on the full requirements product will also need to provide the signature pages to the reliability assurance agreement and the operating agreement with PJM. If a bidder has not already executed the EEI contract as a result of its participation in an RFP held under DSP 5, then the bidder will need to provide the information listed in the cover sheet of the EEI contract, as well as a signed signature page on page 10. A bidder using a guarantor will need to list the name of the guarantor on page 6. Also, I'll point out that posted on the RFP website is a list of acceptable modifications to the EEI contract cover sheet. These modifications allow bidders to uncheck certain options in the cover sheet depending on whether the bidder names a guarantor or does not name a guarantor. Bidders submitting cash as bid assurance collateral will need to provide the information required in Attachment 3. That includes the name of the entity to which the cash will be returned, a W-9 for that entity, and a cash return request. These bidders will also need to complete the cash certifications form that's called Attachment 4. I'll discuss here the abbreviated qualification process for those bidders that provided complete qualification materials in a prior RFP under DSP 5. The auction manager keeps hold of a bidder's previously submitted qualification materials, and this allows for returning bidders to confirm various information is still correct and up to date. To become qualified to submit bids in this upcoming RFP, a returning bidder must provide a new contact information form. The bidder must also provide an email statement to the auction manager confirming that the certifications made in the PJM qualification certification form remain valid, and an email statement confirming that the information in its most recently provided EEI contract cover sheet remains up to date. As needed, though, a bidder can provide an updated EEI cover sheet to update previously provided information. Returning bidders must still provide bid assurance collateral in cash or a letter of credit. And if providing cash, the bidder must complete new attachments 3 and 4. All right, so I'll provide some additional information on the slide on bid assurance collateral. So all bidders, even returning bidders, must submit bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or letter of credit in a fixed amount of $150,000. If providing a letter of credit, a bidder must use the standard form or incorporate only those modifications that have been approved by UGI to use on an optional basis. Just a reminder that the standard form of the bid assurance collateral has changed for the upcoming RFP, so just be sure you've downloaded the latest version from the RFP website. The bid assurance letter of credit must be submitted as an electronic PDF to the auction manager at ugi-dsp@nira.com, and hard copies will not be accepted. Bidders electing to submit cash as bid assurance collateral must provide the information required in attachments 3 and 4, and you can see that information generally listed here. And then there's a document that contains instructions for submitting bid assurance collateral that's posted to the documents page of the RFP website. Bidders have an opportunity to propose modifications to the standard forms of the bid assurance letter of credit and to the performance assurance letter of credit. Proposed modifications should be submitted substantially in the form of the standard form and should be submitted as track changes in Microsoft Word. Proposed modifications must be submitted by email to ugi-dsp@nira.com. Please note that only one draft bid assurance letter of credit and only one draft performance assurance letter of credit will be considered per bidder. The deadline to propose modifications is this coming Monday, June 23rd, and then responses to proposed modifications will be provided back by Monday, June 30th. There are preliminary lists of acceptable modifications that are posted to the RFP website, but then final lists that will include all approved modifications will be posted by Monday, June 30th. Following receipt of a bidder's qualification materials, the auction manager will review the submission and provide a notice to the representatives of the bidder that were named in attachment 1. This notice will come via email, and it will indicate whether the qualification materials are complete or deficient. If the materials are incomplete or require correcting, bidders will be required to fix any deficient materials. If a bidder receives a first deficiency notice from the auction manager that is not related to bid assurance collateral, the bidder will be required to respond to the deficiency notice by either 12 p.m. on July 16th or approximately one business day following receipt of the deficiency notice, whichever comes later. If a bidder receives a first deficiency notice from the auction manager that is related to bid assurance collateral, the bidder will be required to respond to the deficiency notice by either 12 p.m. on July 16th or by 6 p.m. on the second business day following the day on which the first deficiency notice is sent, whichever comes later. If a bidder does not correct the deficiencies, an additional deficiency notice will be sent, and a bidder may have a shorter time frame in which to address any remaining issues. If a bidder does not correct the deficiencies within the time allowed, the bidder may be unable to participate in the RFP. There's a document posted to the RFP website as well that describes the timelines of the auction manager's review of the qualification materials. Only bidders with qualification materials and bid assurance collateral that are fully complete by 6 p.m. on Wednesday, July 30th, may submit bids. The auction manager will notify a bidder once its qualification materials, including the bid assurance collateral, are complete. The auction manager will also send bidders a customized bid form and confidential information needed to submit bids in the RFP. Bids must be submitted using the customized bid form provided by the auction manager. Any bidder's bid will only be evaluated if the bidder has received notification from the auction manager that its qualification materials are complete and that its bid assurance collateral has been accepted. So now I'll describe the general process for submitting bids in the RFP. Bids must be submitted on the bid date. Again, that's July 31st. They also must be submitted using the customized bid form provided by the auction manager. Now, a bid is a price in dollars per megawatt hour for the entire term of the product on which the bidder is bidding. And then bids for a product are evaluated on a price-only basis. There is an illustrative bid form available on the RFP website, and this slide provides some screenshots of what it looks like. The customized bid form from the auction manager will be a locked Excel file, and the name of the bidder will be pre-populated. To complete the bid form, a bidder will need to provide contact information for an individual that will need to be available to receive the auction manager's verbal confirmation of receipt of the bid form. This contact information is provided on the General Information tab. A bidder will also need to complete the certification that's at the bottom of the General Information tab. Bidders will then need to provide a bid price for each product on which the bidder is bidding. Now, if you're intending to bid on both the full requirements and the ATC Block Energy products, just know that the bid form contains a tab for each product. And bidders will have an opportunity to practice bid submission during a training session that'll be held on Wednesday, July 23rd. Bids must be submitted between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern on July 31st. They can be submitted online through a secure file transfer system or via email to ugi-dsp@nira.com. The auction manager will confirm receipt of the bid form within 30 minutes of its submission. If a bidder submits its bid and there's an error such that the bid form does not conform to the rules of the RFP, then a bidder will have an opportunity to correct its bid form. Bidders will have at minimum 10 minutes to resubmit a non-conforming bid form. By 1 p.m. on the bid date, the auction manager will determine the lowest price bids and inform bidders whether their bid or bids will be identified as winning bids to the commission. This 1 p.m. notification is expected to be a verbal notification with written notification to follow. The auction manager will provide a confidential report on the results of the RFP to the commission, and then the commission is expected to provide its decision by August 1st. Winning bidders will need to execute the transaction confirmations and provide performance assurance collateral to UGI by August 5th, and then information on the winning price for each product is released within 15 days after the bid date. Before ending today's presentation, I'll provide a little more information on the new RFP website. So again, the URL for the RFP website is ugidsp.com. The site is organized into various pages that you can see listed on the left-hand side of your screen and in the screenshot. The documents page houses the qualification materials and attachments, the RFP document, credit instruments, instructions for submitting bid assurance collateral, contract files, and data. The calendar page includes the important dates for this current RFP. It also provides the DSP product ladder or schedule. And there's an archives page that contains information from past RFPs. I'll talk a little bit about what you can find on the Contact Us pages or page. There are three sections under the Contact Us page. You can register to receive email announcements from the auction manager by clicking on Contact Us and then register and then filling out the automated form. On this page, when you're registering to receive email announcements from the auction manager, which will include reminders about any upcoming RFPs, you can select the product that you're interested in receiving emails about. So either the AEC's product or full requirements slash slash Black Energy, or both boxes can be checked. You can also submit questions to the auction manager using the Ask a Question section under the Contact Us page. You can also submit questions to the auction manager by email. Bidder questions will typically be answered within 2 business days, and FAQs will also be posted to the RFP website on the FAQs page, but any sensitive information or identifying information will be removed before posting. You can contact the auction manager team by email. A reminder that email is ugi-dsp@nira.com. And if you are submitting bid assurance collateral in the form of a letter of credit, it must be sent to the auction manager at the same email address. Now that concludes the presentation portion of this webcast.